very good evening, Zimbabwe. You are listening to Studio 7 from the Voice of America on Wednesday, August 29th, 2018. And this is Live Talk Diaspora Forum. My name is Chris Gande.
And I'm Tanonoka Wande.
We would like to welcome our viewers and listeners in Zimbabwe and around the world. Tonight on Live Talk Diaspora Forum, we are talking with Zimbabweans in the diaspora and, of course, back home about the current situation in Zimbabwe following the just-ended elections.
The impasse that had obtained in the country after opposition lodged a constitutional challenge was eventually unjammed last week.
However, President Emmerson Mnangagwa, who is the only member of the government who has been officially sworn in so far, is expected to swear in his two vice presidents who are likely to remain the same, Mr. Kembo Mohadi and Constantine Chiwenga.
Eyes are on Mnangagwa's new cabinet, which many people are hoping will chart a better future for the country.
With the country facing a plethora of economic and political challenges, some Zimbabweans are now getting restless because of the slow manner in which President Mnangagwa is pulling the reins of power.
Will the new government of Emmerson Mnangagwa extricate Zimbabwe from its economic and political quagmire? Please join our discussion. Phone us directly at 001-202-619-2077, and we will call you right back.
Live Talk goes out to Zimbabwe on our 909 medium wave frequency and on 13860 kilohertz shortwave Monday through Friday at 8 p.m. Nasi lamhlanje ke silo hlelo siyadibana njalo kuhlelo lwethu lweviki zonke ngolwesithathu lapho ke esikhuluma khona lezizalwane zeZimbabwe esezihlala emazweni kodwa ke siyakhuluma lalabo abasekhaya sikhuluma ke ngodaba lwendaba ezenzakala ekhaya lamhlanje ke sikhuluma ngokwenzakalayo ekhaya ngemva kokhetho olwenyanga edlule leyo siyaziphela bekulokhetho ukhetho luke lwaba lenkulumo kodwa kungani kathesi amehlo asekhangele umongameli Emmerson Mnangagwa ukuthi uza kwenza njani umongameli uzaba ngcono yini lalokhu osekuke kwabonakala ngeminyaka edluleyo kumbe sizabona lokhu kufana njengoba ke engakakhethi le cabinet yakhe ukuthi sibe kwazi ukuthi usenguye lokho nguye na ofana lo le cabinet kamongameli Mugabe yini esangumongameli esasibona lokho kuphindwa-phindwa abantu bona bana babevele bekhona umnotho welizona lokho ungayindawo abantu besithi hayi kathi kungani kungafakwa abanye abatsha abalengqondo ezihlukeneyo silalokhu esike sakubona siyaxoxa ke ngalolu daba lezinye nje eziphathelane leZimbabwe ngemva kokhetho Mr. Wande.
Nasi takatarisana nenyaya yekuti Zimbabwe yatarisa kupi ichafamba sei uyezve yakananga kupi musvondo maviri apfuura yapapa nemakakatanwa okuti ndiani akakunda musarudzo dzakaitwa idzi muna July nokuti MDC Alliance yakanga yaenda kumadharedzi mosva ichikukidza kuti vamunangagwa havasivo vakahwina musarudzo yakapfuura asi svondo rapera iri nyaya iyi yakabva yazorodzwa nedare redzimhosva rakatonga kuti vamunangagwa ndivo vakange vakunda musarudzo saka pari zvino takangomirira kuti kuda pamwe vamunangagwa vachapa mhiko kuvatevedzeri vavo vamuhadhi navachiwenga vototanga kuita basa ravanonzi vakasarudzirwa kuita Asi pane zvizhinji zviri kunetsa Zimbabwe ndozvatoda kuti titarise nhasi kuti takananga kupi uyezve tichasvika kuhere uyezve kuti vamunangagwa ndivo here vanogona kubudisa Zimbabwe mumatambudziko ose amakore sapfuura aya ndozvatoda kuti tikurukure saka kana muine nguva muchidavo kuti batsirana mashoko enyu motifonera tigogovana mashoko enyu nevamwe vanenge vakateererawo namba yedu zvekare i 001-202-619-2077 tobva takufonerai mugotiudzawo zvamunofunga Mr. Gande.
Yes, Mr. Wande, already we have our first guest, Dr. Prisca Ngondo of the University of Texas. Welcome to the show.
Thank you.
Yes, we are discussing Zimbabwe. It's still a hot topic, not only in Zimbabwe and around the world. People are still looking at Zimbabwe. Of course, they are wondering what kind of cabinet is coming up and also what the future holds for Zimbabwe. Mr. Wande, maybe you want to fire away?
Dr. Ngondo, mungati udza kuti imimi semu sechizvarwa cheZimbabwe makatarisira chinyi kubva panapa tichienda mberi chii chamunotarisira chamunoda kuona chichitwa nokukurumidza nehurumende iyi yavamunangagwa munogona kutaura nendevele munogona kutaura neshona munogona kutaura neenglish.
Well, first, thank you for having me on the show. Really, looking forward, we're just looking for our president, and if he happens to be listening or if any of his representatives happen to be listening, we're just looking for him to be a champion of the people and fix Zimbabwe.
How? What are the priorities that you would like to see being tackled right away?
The priorities, as we all know, these are just like the really basic human needs that Zimbabweans have been lacking. We're looking for a functioning economy. We're looking for a good healthcare system where even our own president will seek treatment in Zimbabwe. We're looking for good running water, jobs, electricity, fix the roads. Really, when we're talking about thinking of Maslow's hierarchy of needs, we're just looking for safety, physiological things, security, all those things is what we are looking forward to as Zimbabweans.
You, as a person in the diaspora, you have the advantage of seeing the country from a distance. You have the advantage of actually going into the country like you did a few weeks ago and experiencing the situation in the country firsthand. How much confidence do you have in the situation that in the government that we have, considering the fact that most of them have been in the government for quite some time? What gives you the impetus? What is encouraging you to give them a lot of your faith in straightening out the situation in the country, especially the economic situation that you just alluded to?
I mean, currently, I can't say that I'm very confident. I think they need to win our confidence in order for us then to say that, yes, we're confident in our government. Again, ED and during his campaign, said that Zimbabwe is open for business, and they were promising all of these things. So, yeah, we need to see, again, those things that I mentioned, and I feel as though my fellow Zimbabweans and foreigners feel the same way, that we want to see our economy function. And as someone who was recently there, you know, we want to drive, I want my fellow Zimbabweans and myself to be able to drive on roads without having to dodge potholes all the time. Right? Let's have those fixed rather than just having roads where our government officials live. That's only where the roads are fixed, or in terms of electricity, you don't have to live on an electricity grid where there's someone important who lives in that area for electricity always to be functioning. Money, you know, that seems to be a big thing. There's no cash in the ATMs. People have to wake up at the crack of dawn just to go get money from the bank. These are things that I experienced firsthand and can be quite frustrating for the day-to-day Zimbabwean when you have other things to do instead of spending the whole day waiting for money or having currently being dealt on the black market. So if those things can be fixed, people just want jobs. If you give people jobs,
Is Zimbabwe open for business?
You know, so they say. So is it open for business? And when we say open for business, we're not just talking about our officials looking at self-preservation. If it's open for business, it should be open for business for every single Zimbabwean, so that each Zimbabwean has an opportunity to just live a respectable, self-sufficient life. So yes, is it open for business? We hope to see that, and we want to trust in the process, but you know, our government needs to give us that confidence. What are they doing? So I can't say right now that I'm confident, but I'm hopeful that we can look back and be confident.
Thank you very much, Dr. Ngondo. I know you are in a hurry. I know you are busy, but stay with us for a little while. We are coming back right back to you, madam.
Okay, not a problem. I'll be here.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
Yes, Dr. Ngondo, in fact, before you hold on, I'll just throw in a quick question here. What do you think will be the composition of the cabinet that people are looking forward to? Do you see the same old faces, or you expect new faces?
That is a great question. Based on our history, it looks like we may be seeing the same old faces, but I'm hoping that our new newly elected officials will also see that we need to infuse some new blood into the system. We need some. I just really don't see what the point of having the same old guard in there that was there before in terms of trying to instill our confidence. Let's invite new people into the cabinet and see what we can do and see what we can do to build a better Zimbabwe. And, you know, I know earlier on, Mr. Wande, we had discussed what can the opposition do. And maybe this is where they can also come into play and help keep the checks and balances of the new government and make sure that what they promise to do, they will do.
In fact, I was going to ask you, what role do you see the opposition playing if the president, Mr. Emmerson Mnangagwa, has said he's open to work with them? What kind of role do you think or do you want them to play in the new government?
I'm hoping that the opposition is open to working with the newly elected government. And in addition to that, I think it is up to not only the current government, but also the opposition, again, to make sure to serve as the checks and balances, right, and to keep everybody accountable. I think another issue we have is an issue of accountability, issues that we've had before where money goes missing and nobody knows where it is, right? So our new government and the opposition need to be fully involved in making sure that we're building the nation and not just building our own and filling up our own personal coffers, but really making sure that Zimbabwe is truly open for business and is moving forward, and the opposition must be there to keep those people who have now been elected accountable, in check, and make sure that things are moving on smoothly.
Thank you so much. We're still expecting some other guests and, of course, some callers out there who are listening. We have others who have already sent their messages on our pages and on our Facebook pages. We have Mandla Semi, who's saying now he's engaging a commissioner of inquiry for what, when, and he knows Chiwenga deployed the soldiers, and then Divine Magai says people do not really care who rules. They care for a good living and living standard, money in the banks, and have extra. I can't read the other. He's talking about what people are expecting of the new government. And then we have Kaidish Dexter, who says, it's just the same old people, so hapana change apa. And then Austin Nyamapote is saying he's watching us from South Africa. And Esther Maupa says, no offense, new faces is the last thing in the mind of this regime, especially from opposition side. That's some of the people who are contributing. Remember, you are free to send us your number, and we are going to call you right back, Mr. Wande.
Yeah, Dr. Ngondo. So kuona kwenye mimi, munofunga kuti zvakafanira here kuti vanhu vasavane mawara vasafarisisa nenyaya yekuti hurumende yavakupinda yagadzwa. Munoona here sokuti kusafara kwavanhu, kusata mawara kwavanhu nenyaya iyi kuri justified?
Kuri justified, because in every election there's a winner, there's a loser. Saka, obviously, people who are supporting Anna Chamisa are clearly disappointed, and they should be allowed to express their disappointment. But, of course, does not necessarily mean that we have to resort to violence and to people losing their lives. I think some of these, we have to find a way to express our disappointment, express their disappointment, vice versa. Those who are happy that ED1 should also find a way to express their joy in a peaceful manner. And I think I would just say, Kuti, to those who are feeling disappointed, you know, let's find ways to contribute to the system so that we can make it better. The Chamisa team also need to know that they have a large support of people still in Zimbabwe who are still looking to them to lead them in some sort of way. So if they can figure out how they can move the country forward, also realizing that there are people who are disappointed, there are people who are still looking out, looking up to them as to how to move on. And hopefully we can come to a peaceful resolution.
Mm. Yes, Mr. Wande, I understand we have another guest. I think it's Svanenge Ncube. Is that Ncube on the line?
This is the former captain Noah Chirandu online.
Oh, Mr. Oh, Chirandu.
Yes. Yes.
The former captain.
Yes. Makare Girebasa Noah Chirandu.
Well, I was forced to separate myself from the rest of these guys because of what we see happening there back home. Mm. It became just untenable for me to continue working and serving in the same government, mm, owing to the rot that we currently see as we speak. Mm. Things are not as plausible as we would have expected.
Makanga magara shakadini murumaut.
About 15 years, I joined in 1992, then I left in 2007. Basically, we can talk of as far back as 1997,
1998. Mm. Mm-hmm. So, yes. Mr. Chirandu, as someone who was in the army, there's always been this issue of the involvement of the army in elections and, you know, campaigns and stuff like that. Would you testify to that?
Yes, this is a fact. Although, when we look at ZANU-PF, normally, we have heard of late, I mean, even in the previous elections, they deny this. This is an allegation which they dismiss outrightly to say the army is never involved in elections, in campaigning, but we know it. From experience in the system, I know what has been happening. This has been there, and it is still there. There is a military underhand in the majority of the elections that have taken place in Zimbabwe. As far back as 2000, 2002, 2008, up now. And, of course, when people accuse ZANU-PF of this or the present government, the present system, of military involvement, they don't even take it. They will quickly dismiss it because they know is something that is propping them. It's a kind of culture which has kept them in the system, and they may not want to accept anything of that sort, but the only option they have is to dismiss it.
Mm. But what exactly is the involvement? Because, you know, when you talk of army involvement, you would think, you know, like in other countries where the army helps in, you know, moving the ballot boxes and stuff like that. What exactly is the army involvement in Zimbabwe, and how does it sway the vote from the opposition to the ruling party?
What happens is, normally you have the deployment of some of these military members, you know, members of the force, members of the military. In some areas, it that from the areas that they come from, in terms of their home areas, or they can be deployed where they are not known or whatever. But in the majority of cases, these people are sent to where they are known, where they come from. And it's like it's a silent kind of a thing whereby they want people to really feel that they are there and they are seeing whatever is happening there. So it's a way of intimidating people, you know, because in the olden days we used to have what you call in the system, in the military, things like administrative staff duties where somebody is not wearing uniform at all, has been assigned to say he's on administrative staff duties, AS duties, deployed in their home areas, and monitoring all the activities of the opposition parties and the reporting on them. And it's not surprising. It's not the same person that monitors all the activities that take place in terms of political activities by the opposition. But he may be there to gather information as to what exactly is happening in his area and give that information to someone else who comes from a different area. But when it comes to election time, you look at these people, right, victimizing people who have been active, and the person who is known to those people in a particular area don't see the very guy who is from their area, but he was only there to gather information and just to tell and to try to determine who is active, who is doing this and that. So on its own, people have grown to know this is exactly what happens, and it's a way of intimidating people. And like we're saying, it helps to sway results or elections in the sense that rigging, when we talk of rigging is not an event. It is a process. It starts from all those small little activities that take place from people being monitored, people being reported on their activities. And when it comes to election time, you realize that whatever is going to happen on the election day is just an event, but the process started long back, which is the process of rigging. So it actually affects in a bigger way. People might not see it, but we know what has been happening. We know what happens in our country. It's not really held at all. It's bad. We don't expect this in this day and age. Having things happening in that manner, things that can be likened to pre-civilization era activities where people could not really be in a position to really tell between right and wrong. But as we speak now, people have come of age.
But
come of
age. Mr. Chirandu, let me step you there a little bit. You know, I'm really struggling to find the real nuts and bolts of how the army sways the votes. You say they are deployed there as what? As just to intimidate people or what? Because as far as I could hear, it's just like saying an ex-gabby jumping from one place to the other. And at the end of the day, to me, it still sounds like I'm not clear on that one.
No, I can't give examples, perhaps, you know, to say so-and-so was in this particular area in Zimbabwe or wherever they were. But basically what I'm saying is it happens, but when you talk about this or when allegations are raised in respect of these activities, well, they are quick to deny this and dismiss them, to say it's hogwash. You know, it never happens. The army is never involved in these things. But we have seen it happening. It's there. Like, we have people who roam the rural areas where they came from, where they were born, the areas that they come from. I mean, their presence alone, well, people knowing them as they do, they know their agenda. You can't expect somebody who is still serving in the military staying in a particular area where they come from for maybe six months or 1 year, 2 years in that particular area. You start asking questions. You know that person never left the army. What is he doing in the rural area? And when it comes to campaigning, they are also involved. They are seen doing those campaigns. But somebody is still on a government payroll. People can add up 1 plus 1 to get 2. It's not something which is uncommon.
Thank you so much, Mr. Chirandu. Please stay on the line. We have a caller, Mr. Wande.
Muripa ere parunare. Hello? Muruko di zawa ere?
Yes, I can hear you.
Tukutara nani?
Yes, you are speaking to former Captain Noah Chirandu.
Oh, okay.
No,
Magadaro, Tukutoka Gwaburi. Dr. Ngoto, are you still there? Dr. Ngoto, are you still there?
Andi Chiripo.
Okay, bata makadaro, pane ma aripa parunare, pane mbuzo, ndoda kufunza, bata ya makadaro. Hello, can you hear us? Hello? We have a caller, but we don't know the person who is calling. Taruvinga, wataruvinga mbulipo ere? Wataruvinga, muri kutinzwa?
I think we have a bad connection.
We are not hearing Mr. Taruvinga talking.
Ndiri kunzwa iwani imi.
Aha, tako kunzwa imanji. Makadini ko?
Ndinofara hangu makadini zenyu.
Aiwa, zvishoma zvishoma. Tibatirewo nenyaya iyi. Pfungwa dzenyu dzakamira sei panyaya iyi?
Dambudziko riri kuitika mukati menyika yedu randida kuti nditaure nderekuti zvinhu zvinoitika ndezvekuti vanhu vanoenda pamusoro pedu vanhu vanenge vakaguta vasingazivi nhamo zviri kuitika kumamisha kuti magariro atiri kuita isu vanhu nekurarama kwatinoita kwakaita sei saka ndichidaro ndezvekuti vanhu ivava vakakutungamirira kwavari kutiita vari kutitungamirira sekuti ivo vari kutitungamirira vari kuno kumusha vasingaoni nhamo dzatiri kuona saka nyaya iripo ndeyekuti utungamiriri hwatinahwo izvozvi pari zvino maererano nokuvhota kwakaita vanhu vanhu takavhota isusu tichiti tinoda utungamiriri hune dzikiriri mukati mevanhu asi takadzoka tozvi isusuka neutongi ihwohwohwo ndisi tiripo tinenge tichiri kutongai saka isusu tine matambudziko ekuti kumaruzevha kunoku tiri kutoita dambudziko rokutya kubudikidza nemasozi amuri kutaura iwayo nevanhu vanoita utengesi husina kufanira hwokuti kuri kuzouya vanhu vachitsvikidzira vanhu kudei yava nguva yokuvhota kuti tiende panenge pasina kunaka panoita kuti upenyu hwedu tichaona nguva yekukwanisa kudai tichiwana mabasa nekuwana upenyu hwakanaka nekuwana utano hwakanaka mukati menyika yedu zvine utongi hune dzikerere
ko iko zvinoizvi tabva musarudzo hamuna tarisiro here yekuti zvinhu zvichafambiswa zvakanaka
hapana chinhu chatiri kumboona nokuti kutonga kwavo kwakangofana nekutonga kwanga kuina vamugabe vachiripo nokuti vamugabe vaingotonga futi seizvozvi nemunhu iyeye aripo wacho nhasi yeu vatiri kuti ndiyo aitwa sonini aya purezidendi sei vakarambidza vachamisa kuti vapinde pachigaro asi ivo vakanga vavhoterwa nevanhu maiona mumhomho yaaichiteera vachamisa nguva yavanga vachikambena zvazvichioneka pasi rese nenyika dzose saka nhasi uno seivo vachizoti iwo nhasi unoda kusarudza kana komisheni iyi asi vakasiza vaditi vachibva muno vakakurumidza kumhanyira vabatisi vaditi kunovabata musoja akapfuura vanhu vakadii kumubata dherende
hai tinotenda namashoko enyu makukutu chaizvo Mr. Daruinga he says that people voted for a clean government, but what has been happening since the elections does not indicate that we are going to have a clean, honest government. He's also talking about the fear that is being spread in the rural areas by the military, and he's saying that people should not be afraid of the military, but this is exactly what is happening in the rural areas. And he's touching also on the issue of Mr. Biti, that if it were a new dispensation, if it was a new beginning, why did they chase BT like they did across the border and getting him and arresting him? And why were the police or whoever was responsible of shooting those people, why were they not arrested? But now we have a commission. Don't they know who shot those people? So he's worrying about that, but mostly he's worrying about a clean government, the absence of a clean government.
That's so very true. Yeah, yeah. I heard the president was asked today, during his press conference about, they're saying that, the reporter said, you have the videos of the soldiers shooting.
Mm-hmm.
Why don't you arrest those people? Because you have that kind of, evidence.
It's quite interesting, really, that, now a commission has been set up.
Mm-hmm.
But a lot of the things that happened in full view of the people, cameras, international community, it seems like it's not going to be considered. Mm-hmm. They are waiting for the results that come from this commission. So this creates a bit of confusion in people's expectations.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, we have someone on the line.
Yes, we have Mr. Msipa, Lloyd Msipa. Welcome to the show.
Thank you. Dr. Anani?
Chris Gande.
Chris, how are you?
I'm fine. Before we go any further, we are going to call you. We know you are some kind of political analyst, but any further description like ZANU-PF?
No, I'm a UK-based lawyer, although my first degree was in political science in the rest of Zimbabwe.
Mm-hmm.
All intents and purposes, I am a professional based in the UK.
Okay.
I love my country. I do work for my country.
Mm-hmm.
So that puts me in a unique place like every Zimbabwean, every citizen. Seems to see Zimbabwe moving forward.
Okay. No, that's fine. That's fine. Yeah, so, Mr. Msipa, your thoughts on the commission that people are talking about, that, there have been these questions that are, first of all, we are getting people from, outside the country, and yet there are videos that showed what happened. What's your take on that?
Obviously, the commission is a brilliant idea, and the international community has been looking forward to it. If you look at the composition, you will see that it's made out of professionals, people who are completely disconnected from the event of August the 1st, led by a well-respected statesman, former President Mohlantse from South Africa. General Davis, Tanzania, is in there. We've got our own constitutional expert, Mamaduku, and I think my sister, former Law Society President, is in there. And our very own Rodney, Dixon, based here in London. So you've got a combination of professionals, people who are disconnected from the actual event. And so whatever outcome that comes out of this, that will be, exactly what the world wants to hear.
Mm. Okay, mm-hmm. So what about in terms of, evidence and having the first hand kind of account that Mr. Mohlantse, fine, is a statement, but in terms of gathering that information, do you think he's going to be able to do that?
Yes. I heard earlier on, I think your previous caller sort of said, look, we've got the video, so we know what happened. It is not as straightforward as that. There is the political aspect to be investigated. There is the legal aspect to be investigated. You have a situation where which appears as if soldiers, ran amok and shot people. But if you look at the legal framework when that happened, you will find that there were other issues that the commission will need to consider. For instance, we've got a constitution that has not been aligned to national laws. So you'll have legislation like POSA, for instance. POSA allows the deployment of the police, and within POSA there's a self-activating mechanism that allows the police to call on the army to restore law and order. But if you go to the Constitution, you find that that has been outlawed by the Constitution because it's only the president that can actually deploy the army. So all those inconsistencies will be have to be put in black and white. What actually happens if the laws were not aligned? That is why we have some of these scenarios happening. So it's not a matter of just what you see with your eyes. You have to look at what were the underlying reasons. Why, on what basis was an order made, if it was made? On what basis did the army act? Was it a legal provision? That legal provision will have to be, you know, interrogated, and they ventilate that vis-a-vis the Constitution. So these are things, that is why the commission is composed the way it is composed. It's not a matter of, it's not a black and white, it's not what you see. There is more to it than, you know, that meets the eye.
Yes, but Mr. Msipa, we have heard arguments about, you know, this issue that it brings to the fore, the theory that we have two centers of power, because clearly the police commissioner general came out and said we have asked the army to help us. But now we are investigating that when there is that kind of, you know, scenario. What would you say, I mean, especially when you look at this theory that there are two centers of power?
No, I don't think that theory is valid in this instance. If I was to take a stab in the dark, I would probably think is the contradiction in our national laws vis-a-vis the Constitution. The laws, the Police Act, its provisions, OSA have not been aligned to the national constitution. So what is happening is that the left hand doesn't know what the right hand is doing. The theories of two centers of power, look, people will find ways of trying to explain a certain scenario, but the two centers of power principle is you know, that's not it. There's more to it. We were late in aligning our constitution, so chances are POSA self-activated, and this is what we had. But if, and of course, obviously, this is subject to the commission's own interrogation. We will see what they bring out.
Okay, thank you. Please stay on the line.
Okay.
Yes. Okay. Hello. Pane arikutifonera ariku South Africa. Umuntu okutinzwaire.
Tiri kunzwai baba. Magadi nindeto wa sugar.
Sugar. Magadi ni enyu sitri nani chaizo.
Aiwa isinani baba ini tiru wazi o mukati memoyo mune wano wakapfurwa nemusoja
wangu
taikumbira kuti wamunangagwa wataure pamusoro pakapa pane zvakaitika izvi kuti wakumbira kuti no zvakafamba so kupfurwa kwakaitwa vanhu nemasoja nekuti vanhu wakapfurwa wabereke wachona nehama dzachona misodzi iri pamatama wari kuchema saka toda kuti wataurewo kuti zvakafamba sei kuti vazotume masoja kuvanhu vanga vasina pfuti vanga vasina zvomo
zvatiri kunzwisisa kusvika pari zvino ndezvekuti vamunangagwa vaumba komisheni yevakuru vakuru kune dzimwe nyika vakavhengana nevamwe vomuzimbabwe kuti vaongorore nyaya yose yakaitika kubva zvapera sarudzo nekupfurwa kwakaitwa vanhu vamuri kutaura saka kuda pari zvino kundongova nyaya yekungomirira kuti vapedze ongororo yavo
kuzoumba komisheni inoona izvozvo baba waifanira kuti wanotsunge munhu uyu nokuti munhu uyu ari kuuya kubasa mazuva ese munhu uyu adresi yake hausi nhamba yaanogara vanoiziva
Zvino imi zvamuri kuSouth Africa madeemuchikuda pamwe madeemuchivabatsiravo neruzivo neinformation yamunenge muinayo hatisi kuziva hedu kuti zvinofamba sei tambozvitaura kama makateerera patatanga chirongwa pane umwe anga achitaurawo nyaya iyoyo kuti vanonotsvaka makomishini yavanhu vanobva kunze kwenyika vanhu vakuru vakuru vasingapindi munopinda vamwe vanhu vazhinji veruzhinji vemuzimbabwe vachisiya vanhu zvapupu zvichingovapo imomo muzimbabwe saka kuda maitiro okuda kuti vafadzewo vokunze kwenyika hatisi kuziva asi chatinoziva ndechokuti vaita komishini iyoyi yokuti izvi zviongororwe asi zvamunotaura tinozvinzwisisa
icho kwari baba nokuti ipapa iye zvino takuda kuti tichingoona kuti nyika yedu yakufambira mberi nokuti iye zvino izvi wagara pa wavhoterwa asi vanhu vazhinji vakutombofara nokuti vakavhoterwa nokuti vakaba maelection saka iye zvino toda kuona kuti wachaita chii pane izvozvo nokuti zvavakavimbisa vanhu kuti tichakiitai zvakati iye zvino vanhu vari kumwa mvura ine masweji marodhi asi kugadzirwa nhasi munhu akarwara last of last week pakaita accident yakauraya vanhu muchivhu mabhazi marodhi asi kugadzirwa mvura vanhu havazi kumwa mvura yakachena saka zvose zviri kurwadza munhu akarwara hapana ambulance inotakura munhu pakaitika tsaona ambulance inozogona kuuya kana kuti after 2 hours chaidzo nokuti hakuna maambulance
Aya, vashuga mashoko enyu tinomanzwa munotaura zvatinonzwisisa chose rekai timbobvunza Dr. Ngondo muripo here
Alright, maita basa
Dr. Ngondo muripo
ndiripo
iya manzwa zvataurwa nevanhu vakati wandi apa zvikuru sei vapedzisira kutaura vanoti ndi vanoti vashuga kuti zvinhu zvizhinji zvakagara zviripo zvakadaro asi vanoita sokuti havana chiedza kuti zvinhu zvikafamba zvakanaka uyezve chimwe chavataura inyaya yekomishen yaumbwa nhasi iyi kuti iongorore zvakaitika pakashutiwa vanhu vaya vatanhatu vanomwe mushure mesarudzo ini munofungei nenyaya yekomishen iyi musati mapindura Dr. Ngondo ndoda kuti ndiudze vatereri vedu kuti kana vakatarisa kana zvikurise vari paFacebook vanoona takakunyorai kuti University of Texas asi panofanira kunzi Texas State University tinorombo chaizvo kuti tanyora zvisiri zvepapo pindura henyu Dr. Ngondo
Kuti, there's a commission, that's a good thing to have a commission to find out, Kuti, what exactly went wrong and who's responsible and let the responsible parties be punished. Mm. But let's just not create commissions for the sake of creating commissions to pacify the people. So hopefully this commission is something that's actually going to show some results, not having a commission for the sake of having a commission.
Mm-hmm.
That's really all I have said. I hope that the people who are responsible are found and are caught. And again, we are talking about accountability. So this could be the first step in our government showing us Kuti, they are being accountable. And so we can have confidence in them moving on.
Mm-hmm. Thank you, Dr. Ngondo. Mr. Msipa, are you still on the line? Mr. Msipa?
Yes, I'm here.
Yes, sir.
Can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you very well. There is an issue here about the newly constituted commission. You heard some of our callers expressing wonder why they are taking people from all over the world when all the evidence is right there in front of them. What would you say to them from your point of view to justify the commission instead of having dealt with the culprits right there and then? What would you say to them?
Well, it's about transparency. Obviously, chiripondo chekuti zvirataka tanga election, zvinhu zvese taitanga tisataita toradiza international community ka. They've been policing our things since takatanga kuti one day kuelection. My elections edu, they were there. Our constitutional court hearing, yakabhimwa live kuti vaonewo. So in the same spirit, this commission must have my external eyes without that transparency, because as Mazimbabweans, as things stand now, tinema trust issues are serious. If that commission was composed of locals, unotanga kunzwa kuti zvatanga, the trust issues didn't arise.
But vamusipa vanhu vatotanga kutumira mameseji nokuti vaona kuti zvanzi pane vamwe vacho vaidentify as ZANU-PF vanoti zvanzi hazvina kubhalansa ko kana vava vafunga izvozvo vadi kutora vanobvawo kuna mao mapoka zvikuru sei vanhu zvavakashutwa ava zvavanga vari veMDC
aiwa ka ndo zvandoti sometimes semazimbabwe tinoita major on minors For example, Dr. Manyeruge is an academic university of Zimbabwe.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah?
Yes.
Ramaduku is a constitutional expert.
Right.
In his own right. The third Zimbabwean, I think she's a former Law Society president.
Right.
Ndoma Zimbabweans are Tina Matatu, professionals in their own right.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's not like one or two Timbaka some commission. What are my professionals? It's like, you know, we really need to stop majoring on minors. And then the other four, you know, Tanzania, South Africa, what's that, Nigeria, what's the fourth one? The UK. I mean, how international can we get? Mm-hmm. How transparent, you know, we need, right, my Manyeruke, I've read some stuff saying with my Manyeruke, ZANU-PF, Women's League, so and so on and so on.
Mm.
You see, cheremugere pamuri ipapo, mnema political preferences, eh? Yeah, mm. We will find that you've got your own personal, which has nothing to do with Basareni, as the VOA anchor.
Mm-hmm.
But now my personal, I'm not going to say anything about it. Because three are political animals by our nature. It is impossible for you not to have a political preference because the politics ultimately affect your day-to-day life, especially when you're going to be a for anybody to say my manager, okay, you are about to disappear investor of Zimbabwe. My Ningiwe former Law Society. She's a professional. She's never been involved in politics.
Mm-hmm.
And the third person, Maduku, because he ran as a president in the last election, but he was in opposition. So when you also tie this up, it could never get more balanced than what it is.
Mm-hmm.
So let us give, you know, Tinema trust issues that we need to get over. We need to find ourselves in that respect as Zimbabweans. Apana patino itachin de Zimbabwe. Chisinga ongororwe, and sometimes we overdo interrogation yet.
But Mr. Msipa, just a quick question. You know, when President Mnangagwa came into power, we saw him, we heard him, you know, talking about pruning the government, saving money, and so forth and so forth, Magufuli style. But now, here is a commission which is clearly going to cost the taxpayer more money, which should be used in helping, you know, people like in the hospitals and stuff like that. What's your quick take on that?
Okay, let me ask you a question in return. We August the 1st happened, Yagaitika.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, six people so lost their lives. Some got injured. The property was damaged. If the local police wakaenda wakaita sunga ningi ndiye ari responsible for August
1.
As Zimbabweans, we will not accept that.
But if there is video evidence, I don't see why you're not.
Video evidence, you know, to run private cameras and what have you, is not admissible in any court or any adjudication process.
Okay.
You have to interrogate. It's like saying, doctor, a video in any, and then 6 months later, and trying to see evidence. That does not, no court of law will take him a video as admissible evidence. Because Panaya M soldier Arupura, but it doesn't show the target. But he clearly is firing his gun.
Yes. But he has to answer to why he is using live ammunition against those people.
Right,
anyway, Mr. Msipa, can you just pause there for a few seconds or minutes? We are coming back to you. We have a caller.
Okay.
Oh, Tinet. Mudipa Erparnare.
Hello, yes, it's Wilbert Mukori.
I'm Kori Magadine.
How are you, gentlemen? How are you?
I'm fine. How are
talking
you, sir?
To you. It's always wonderful to hear from you guys.
Thank you so much. What can you tell us?
I wanted to comment on the evidence that was given, or rather the comment that was given by the ex-captain from the army.
Okay.
I think most of us have lived in the rural areas. The issue of intimidation is there, is real. And when you have got a regime like what we have, and right now, the other day, President Mnangagwa was issuing out 90 new Isuzu trucks to the chiefs. We know they were being thanked for the work they did during that the campaign. You know, so the issue of intimidation is serious. And somebody was writing the other day commenting on that very issue and saying the people in the rural areas are no more than serfs in the medieval time, you know, being beholden to the landlords, which is ZANU-PF and their proxies, the chiefs, the headmen, the Rogue War veterans, and some of these army guys in civilian clothes. That is the reality. And 60% of the population live in the rural areas. So how can we say those elections were free, fair, and credible?
Mr. Msip. Mr. Msip Amuribo.
Are you there?
Yes.
Can
I'm here.
Can you quickly respond if you have the response?
He says that there was intimidation in Kuma Reserve, isn't it? That's one of the accusations, isn't it?
Yes.
And based on that, the election was not free and fair.
Mm-hmm.
And he talks about the issue of my chiefs being given my tax.
Yes.
But if it goes back to our own law, our own constitution, it recognizes the institution Emma Chiefs. And traditionally, even culturally, we recognize the institution Emma Chiefs. Apana region is not chief. I'm not a chief. Even yourself, chief, and so on. So that is part of that has been part of the politics for years. Now, when we move on to intimidation, you see, it's a person makes an allegation, they must prove that allegation. There was intimidation. Because intimidation is a lot of things. I must win. Dagato winner before the people go to vote. That in itself amounts to intimidation. You are intimidating your opponent before even the vote starts. So let us be clear. When we say intimidation, let's not use it as a generic word, which only affects maybe ZANU-PF, for instance. Let us, if you've got allegations of intimidation, show the proof. The election, on its fairness and freeness, I don't think in our election since 1980 we've ever had a more freer election. The opposition traveled the length and breadth of the country. They had access to state media, and I think Zimbabwe has actually turned the corner with regard to elections. This would not happen during Mugabe's era. You know, even state Nanamanyika, they went everywhere. The only difference is that the MDC, as an opposition political party, is a loose alliance of friends. It is not a political party. Ainama structures. You cannot win an election Kuma Reserve when you don't have structures, you don't have membership Kuma Reserve. So you can probably pull something off Kuma towns, but Kuma Reserve requires that you be embedded in the citizens themselves, those who are Kuma Misha. I'll give you an example. Malema Arnold Adresamarali, upward of 60,000 people, but the return on the vote is less than 10%. ANC addresses 20,000 people. The return on the vote is over 60%. It is not because of the rally. It is because under the rallies, kunemwe method yeku interacta nema voters at grassroots level. And that is what ZANU-PF does. You know, they are ahead of the rallies and speaks to the people. So you find that there is a relationship between...
So, Mr. Msipa, can you pause there for a second? The caller wants to respond.
Okay.
Yeah, I think this is most unfortunate that we have got people still in denial. 2008, there was massive intimidation. People were beaten, people were raped, and many were killed. And that situation in 2008 has been the benchmark of the level of violence and intimidation that we have seen in Zimbabwe. Even when these elections started, people like Ingubet Rugenje, the political commissar of ZANU-PF, was in the rural areas making it very clear that if ZANU-PF loses, there's going to be trouble. That is the intimidation we're talking about. People, after this election, we saw on the social media houses that were burnt in Mutoko. Isn't that intimidation?
No. I think we are confusing issues. 2008 was the election which was trying to elect Robert Mugabe. 2018 is an election that elected the Emmerson Mnangagwa, and it is a bit rich to try and compare the two because those were two separate candidates. 2018, there is even look at the reports of my observers, the African Union, SADC. Mm. The EU, Yacho, even the Americans, they said Zimbabwe, yes, we can do more, but we've managed to do what was not in 2008. We should be able to give ourselves some kind of credit because we are moving on. There was no violence.
Mr. Msipa, thank you so much. Let's thank also our listener there. But meanwhile, we have some other guests who want to chip in. We have the former captain, Chirandu. Are you still there?
Chirandu, Muchiribo.
Oh, okay. Yes. Yeah, Mr. Chirandu, you have heard the back and forth here between Mr. Msipa and our caller there. What do you make of all that's being said about intimidation and stuff like that? Since you were in the army, maybe Mr. Msipa can hear it firsthand from you.
Yes, we have talked about this, unfortunately.
Mm-hmm.
We still have some varying opinions from other people who, for some reasons, perhaps we don't know why we may not be in sync with the truth as we speak. Intimidation has been there, and it has been rampant. Whether it was more pronounced in 2008 or less pronounced in 2018 is something else. But the underlying factor is we have always had intimidation. We can talk of, say, there was an improvement in terms of the political framework vis-a-vis the two, in 2018 vis-a-vis 2008. Well, there could be some differences here and there, but look, we don't want to have a cosmetic changes like in the eyes of the international community to say you improved in this and that, but on the one hand, you then get to a point where the majority vote or the voice of the people is sort of undermined by doctoring the end result of that particular election. So it's unfortunate. We know what happened. And, we got to a point where the election was disputed. We ended up going to the Constitutional Court, which in any event, we are not really happy with what happened thereafter, because when we talk of, say, you are not able to bring forth primary evidence over things that we also find, it remain very technical, and on the account of those other aspects that were highlighted and cited by the court, you end up maybe having a situation whereby the court ruled in favor of the other party. But this is the real reason, the real cause why we don't have any joy, no celebration at all in Zimbabwe.
Former captain, sorry to interrupt you there. Sorry to interrupt you there, because we have run out of time. We just want to give Dr. Ngondo just a few words because we have less than a minute. Dr. Ngondo, can you just give us your closing words?
Thank you very much. All I want to say is, you know, we can argue and debate about this issue for the longest time, but what I would really like to appeal to our leaders at this point is that you now have the opportunity to change the course and trajectory of Zimbabwe and the responsibility And really looking at our leaders, especially the president, is that when he looks back, what does he want to be remembered for?
Oh,
we're asking him to serve
so much,
our country
Dr.
and be a champion of the people of Zimbabwe. Thank you
so much, Dr. Ngondo. That was Dr. Prisca Ngondo. We also heard from Mr. Lloyd Msipa from the United Kingdom, and of course, the retired Captain Chirandu. My name is Chris Gande. Good night, Zimbabwe.
And I'm Tanono Kawande. Until we see you again next time, please take care of yourselves. Thank you so much for spending time with us. Good night.